The examples that Jesus uses today could preach this gospel, without another word said, if we understood them correctly from the time and the culture in which they were spoken. If we fail to understand that, then we end up with some rather odd behavior that will not make us holy nor get us close to perfection. When it says, offer no resistance to injury, Jesus is not saying, lay down and let anyone hurt you or take advantage of you who pleases. Jesus was never passive in the face of evil or wrongdoing. I mean, for heaven's sake, look how he cleaned out the temple. When he saw something wrong, he went after it, okay? That's not what this means. A better translation might be, do not react with hostility to one who is evil. That's an entirely different thing from not resisting evil. So the challenge is how to resist evil, and then come some examples. Striking someone on the right cheek doesn't mean being hit with a fist or a club. The detail of the right cheek speaks to a specific kind of behavior at that time and that age, okay? It refers to a backhanded slap with the right hand, which is intended to demean, not physically injure. This is a put-down. It's not an injury, big thing. It's a put-down. It's an insult. It's a power play. So getting into a fist fight misses the point. Rather than hit, the turning of the other cheek changes the game. And it says, hit me with integrity, and then we'll see who's the best man here. Now, the people who heard these examples from Jesus, they would have been quite surprised, imagining a browbeaten servant standing up to an arrogant overlord. That's what's happening here. A servant is standing up and saying, I'm not going to take it anymore. The point is made by the response. The servant does not take the insult, but the servant does not escalate the violence. You see the difference? They simply show up and reveal the arrogance of the offender. It's the same thing with that business of going an extra mile. Here's the rule. At the time, a Roman soldier could force a local to carry his pack for 1 mile. No more. 1 mile. To offer to go the second mile robs the bully of the initiative, and it puts him in danger of being reported for going beyond the limit and abusing his power. Imagine the people standing around Jesus hearing this, and they must have broken out in laughter at the very thought of these imperial Roman soldiers suddenly pleading to get their pack back from some clever pacifist. So with all that, Jesus turns our thoughts to hatred, a dangerous thing. It must be kept for a cause, not a person. We can hate things. We can hate events like war or plagues, but we cannot hate people. So when Jesus talks about the enemy, he's not referring to enemies in war. He's talking about someone who's close to us, in the neighborhood, at work, in the family, someone making life difficult for us. Our enemies are not those who hate us, but rather those whom we hate. Our enemies are not someone who hate us, but people we choose to hate. We make our enemies. Hate poisons the heart, but as Jesus says, love purifies it. When Jesus says we must love our enemies, It's not for the sake of the enemies. It's for our own sake, because love's more beautiful than hate. Love is the greatest gift, but hatred is the one thing that can destroy it. Love your enemies is one of the most revolutionary things ever spoken. All other revolutionaries said that the enemy must be destroyed. And we can see where that's taken us, into an endless cycle of destruction and hatred that most of the time does more harm to us than to anyone else. Most of us find it hard enough to love our friends. And all of us have enemies, or at least people we dislike. And if we take the time to reflect upon why we dislike them, most of the time it's not because they said or did something to offend, but because they bring out the worst in us. Enemies expose a side of us we usually manage to keep hidden from our friends, a dark side of our nature, which we would rather not know about. The enemy stirs up ugly things inside of us, and that's the reason we feel hatred. What is expected of us is not to feel love for an enemy, because, you know, love isn't really a feeling. Love is an act of the will. We can make a decision to love someone even though we do not have feelings for that person. Love allows someone to be different. Love allows them to be themselves and to not try to turn them into a copy of us so that we can love them. Turning them into a copy of us is a distortion, fake kind of love. In the end, what Jesus asks is contrary to human nature, but it's not contrary to the divine nature. And so this is what draws us to perfection. The perfection Jesus speaks of is the perfection of love. God loves God's children unconditionally. Not because they're good, but because God is good. And so it would be for us who seek to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We love others not because they're good, but because we will and we choose to be good, like God is good.